Yeah.
Hey, wait. Yeah, sorry. Are we ready?
Yep.
Are you good?
Are you ready?
Okay, yeah, I'm good. What's up, guys? We're doing another update slash sound check slash everything else. And we got nerd news. We got fucking everything. Sorry. If I sound a little caught off guard, it's just because I started recording and I was like, okay, go. But I was like, I didn't get my brain ready. So I just hit record and I'm like, all right, fuck it, let's do this. And then I'm like, oh shit, right, here we are.
We gotta do stuff.
And they're listening. Oh shit. No, we're ready to go. I caught myself off guard with that one. That's it. Normally I catch you off guard with it.
Yeah.
But I was the first time I wasn't ready and you're like, you okay?
You
sorry, I was buffering. Follow our tweets at Team Awesomic, like the Facebook page, download and subscribe for free on iTunes as well as Podomatic. Go to YouTube, check out the reaction shit, check out the live stream shit. It's not shit, it's good stuff. Simmer Mike, all caps, like I'm shouting at you. Simmer Mike, my name backwards, like in a phone book, but no spaces. Simmer Mike, that's how you find it. Simmer Mike, say it four times, it's a charm. I know it's three, but we're changing it up just so we got our own thing for the YouTube videos. And let us know what you want us to react to. We got a live stream. We do live streams all the time. When we do those live streams, we can cut to any sort of video clips or anything that you guys want to see, and we could watch it on the live stream. So if there's like, it's going to be YouTube appropriate though. So if there's like, literally like, hey, watch this video of this cat falling into a bucket of, I don't know, soap, and then it starts shitting bubbles. Be like, that's amazing. I'd be like, I want to see that. It starts shitting bubbles. Like, yeah, bubbles, legit. Hilarious. And you see it, and it's like, yep, it is. We can watch that because that's YouTube appropriate. An example, porn. Not YouTube appropriate. Porn, definitely not. So we can't do porn.
But we might check it out later.
We can watch.
So send us.
Well, we could watch it. We just can't show we can't show anyone what we're watching. So it'd be really just us going, oh God, like the two girls one cup thing, we're not saying we want to do, but it's just God. We want to share the video with other people. Regardless, check that out. Also, Stitcher Podcast Radio, subscribe there for free, as well as iTunes. Just type in Team Awesome Make on either of those and go to the website, yotina.podmac.com. Vanessa's tweets are at Creepy Sexy Nerdy. We're starting off with comments first because we've got some ones that I cherry-picked.
Okay.
And then we can get right into the nerd news. We've got some really interesting stuff. So we're just going to... I hate to blow through your comments and shout-outs, but we've got a lot of show.
We do.
We've got so much show that we're working on right now, but we'll get back to the rest of you guys. And don't forget, leave the comments at Simmer Mike under any of the videos, and of course on the podcast as well, whether it's on Stitcher, iTunes, or what the fuck ever.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Thank you, KPB213, new subscriber. Nadir Hope, thank you, new subscribers. We got a quote. I don't want to give the commenter a name, but they said to our Sicario 2 trailer reaction, they said, it's funny watching snowflakes react to movie violence. By the way, it's called bump firing, the way Benicio fired his weapon.
Oh, God.
You're a real cool dude. You're tough, man. We're afraid. We're snowflakes. We're so afraid. You're right. Yeah, I just... Lord. I don't know what that movie's about. It looked very violent and aggressive.
And sorry, but that did not look like an efficient way to fire a gun. I will say it again. I stand by that.
I think most people agree that whatever that bump firing shit Benicio was doing, it looked like it was not I don't know. It just looked like something sloppy. Like he did it sloppily on purpose so that no one could tell it was a skilled killer or something.
Yeah.
Which is smart in that case, but it's just but then it's really deadly in that regard. Not effective, but, you know, if he's trying to make it look like some unskilled person's just randomly shooting and it's not him, that'd be a clever way of getting around that, I suppose.
Yeah.
Still, bullshit. Bullshit way of firing. Bump firing. And we're snowflakes. I don't disagree with that. I don't want to be a violent person that kills other people. If that's if it's a badge of honor that you're proud of, I think your priorities are a little fucked. The fact that you want to carry a gun around and want to kill people, I think that's a self-defense thing.
Yeah.
I think that's if you needed to protect yourself, not to antagonize and to prove anything.
I'd rather be a snowflake than someone who calls other people snowflakes.
And snowflakes are individual and beautiful, sir. They're beautiful, sir, and you don't understand us, sir. But thank you for watching and commenting. We do appreciate that. But we're going to leave you nameless
because... The view.
Yeah, we're going to leave you nameless. Then we got... This is an old video we did. This is a reaction we did to Sam Onella's video, Why It Sucked to Be a Pirate. We only did one of Sam's videos, and we stopped because we got a weird onslaught of negative responses to us, like watching it, doing a reaction. But then other people said they don't care. We've subsequently gotten subsequently a lot of views on that video, but we have a very, it's interesting. We're getting this sort of weird dislike ratio. We're getting all these views, and the dislike ratio is being, it's improportionate, and everyone's been asking about that as far as the Sam Onella video, because it's getting a lot of, it's garnered a lot of views, but it's getting a lot of, at first, the hate train was very strong on it.
Mm-hmm.
People were ripping on us really hard for covering. They said, oh, you're ripping them off. And I was like, actually, no, we were just watching his video and commenting on it. If nothing else, we were advertising him and what he does. But at the same time, you know, doing our own thing. I didn't think we were being shitty at all, but a lot of people got weird with us. So we just stopped doing that. We didn't do any of his videos anymore. We just stuck with trailers because people are like, that's fine. Music videos, no one gives a shit. But we got a lot of shit, and we didn't want people to think we were ripping off fellow YouTubers. But we've gotten a lot of people saying, we don't care. Like, what are you talking about? Like, it's fine. We don't know what all this shit's about, what the dislike and about the negative comments are. And this person, M1CS, said, I don't even give a shit they took Sam's video. Now, if the opinion is, he's operating under the opinion that people think we took the video, which we didn't take it. We gave him credit in it. I think that what they're worried about is that we're, I don't know. Like, that's a bizarre thing to say, but we're not claiming anything in Sam's video.
Yeah, no, and we touched on this once before.
We're getting random comments because people are, like, catching up late to the game going, wow, why are people so fucking mad about it? And I'm like, look, it's people get really defensive about their favorite YouTubers, and if they feel like someone is ripping them off, they're going to be, you know, their fans are going to be like, hey, stop it. So I get it. I'm not mad about it. I'm just saying that's why we don't do it anymore. But I understand that why people are like, what's the problem? I don't know, but I don't want to cause any more issues. But I'm liking the controversy because it's funny to me.
What the general public generally doesn't understand about YouTube is that
they think that we're monetizing Sam's video.
Yeah.
In our reaction.
We
can't do that.
We don't. Yeah,
I think we've said over and over that YouTube is not anywhere we make money off of.
If you play copyrighted content, each view goes to the copyright holder.
Yeah, exactly. So, but he didn't claim monetization on it because we didn't claim monetization on it. He saw that we weren't making money off of it, so he didn't see a need. He actually left a comment saying, hey, that guy looks familiar. Sam did. He left a comment on our channel saying, hey, that guy looks familiar. So I clicked like and love.
Did a Max Landis joke?
Almost. It's like when Max Landis kind of made fun of me. Anytime anyone I look up to like comments on anything I do, like Tayson Day follows us. Chocolate Rain, Tayson Day.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. A lot of people are like big deal. I'm like, it's Tayson Day. He's fucking dope. And if you're listening, Tay, help us with the Sam Onella stuff, man. Like you're a YouTuber. If you're listening now, the great Tayson Day, we reach out to you. We beseech thee, Chocolate Rain, help us with the Sam Onella. And Sam, if you're listening, I don't know if he listens. He's busy doing his own YouTube stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But we thought it was a very funny. It wasn't even my idea. It was Chris. I hate to throw Chris under the bus, but it was Chris's idea. He's like, hey, we should watch this video, Why It Sucked to Be a Pirate. And I'm like, okay. I always thought it'd be cool to be a pirate. And then when we watched it and Sam broke down the reality of it, it slowly ruined pirates for me. And I was like, oh, what? No, I thought it was all fun.
Oh, no.
He's like, it's not fun. I'm like, oh, shit. And it was a fun, and we got good feedback from it, but we also got a lot of negative stuff. And the negative stuff just outweighed it. So I'm like, I just didn't want to do any more YouTubers' original content because people think that we're monetizing it and we're not making money off of them. In fact, we're helping them make money because people then go to their channel, which is more monetized than ours, and they make a living off of YouTube. Most of them do. We don't.
Mm-hmm.
We don't make a living off YouTube. We don't make a living off this podcast, which is what we do make the money off of for the production, and we don't even make a living off that. So, you know, it's catch 22. You love doing it. You have an audience, but then you've got to be independently financed, or you got to beg for money,
mm-hmm.
or you got to find funding somewhere else. Which, by the way, we are definitely taking sponsors at this moment. So hit us up, teamawesomeshows@gmail.com. Again, teamawesomeshows@gmail.com. If you want to send donations because you feel sorry for us, go to yotina.potomac.com, PayPal account. We send percentage to the Ovarian Cancer Research Fund. It's all there. It's on the website. You can see it if you want. We're not going to push that because, fuck, man. That's like, I don't want to be like the public service channel, public broadcasting service network.
PBS.
I know it's not PBSB. I'm putting another S in there. Public service broadcast.
Public, I'm getting it all fucked up. Broadcasting service.
I used to watch Doctor Who on it, so I'm very grateful for that. But we're not going to like nag you about money every 10 minutes like they always do. They need it more than we do. They do a better service. But we're here too, so if you want to help us out, that's great. But okay, so that's that with the Sam stuff. We probably won't be doing any more Salmonella, but if you guys keep bothering us about it, maybe we will, and maybe we'll just see how it goes. We got a comment on our iTanya trailer reaction. It says, Salisbury K says, catch Allison Janney and Drop Dead Gorgeous. I cannot wait for this gem about iTanya.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we haven't seen, I forgot Drop Dead Gorgeous. That was a good movie. Mm-hmm. I think iTanya, I said it reminded me a bit of that. We got Richard Parker. He commented on our Alita Battle Angel trailer reaction. He says, aside from having to get used to the live-action lead being fully CGI, this looks like it will be faithful to the spirit character and to a large extent the story of the original manga.
Okay.
Okay, that's good. What else do they say? Someone made a comparison to Jason Bourne, which is a good call, where Alita is like Bourne, the major from Ghost in the Shell. Should have been more John Wick and less RoboCop, and certainly not the victim. This looks like someone is finally getting it all right. I just hope it does well at the box office. We'll see. I mean, James Cameron's been working on Alita Battle Angel for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally get, you know, the why anyone would be, like, worried or concerned. I was just asking if anyone was worried or concerned about this adaptation, if it just didn't look right for them.
Mm-hmm.
But so far, the feedback we've been getting about it is a bunch of people are like, stop talking about the eyes, man. Because she has big eyes in the thing. And I'm like, those eyes are fucking huge. Have you seen them in the trailer?
Yeah.
For Alita Battle? They're huge. We called it out.
We did.
People are like,
people were upset.
Quit talking about it. It's
quit
like, but it's.
The eyes.
What
no.
do you mean? How can you not? The eyes are the window to the soul. You're staring right at them and you're fucking huge.
They're huge.
So, but it works. I'm not saying it's bad. I never said it was bad. Damn. But yeah, thank you, Richard Parker, who didn't bring anything up like that. I was just remembering. New subscriber, Maynard De La Cruz. Maynard. Welcome aboard, Maynard De La Cruz. I like that name, Maynard. Just sounds like some southern thing. Acizel Riviera. Acizel, thank you for joining. Carrie Cooley. Thank you. Thank you, Carrie Cooley. Crapster commented on our 50 Shades Freed trailer reaction. Posting this in the first 30 seconds, so you may have already asked this. And then Y, all caps with an exclamation
why?
Point, a question mark, an exclamation point, another question mark. So they're like, why? Like, yeah, like Vanessa said. That's the best way to describe that comment. What do you mean? 50 Shades Grey franchise is
boobs.
The best. It's the best.
Boobs.
Think of an action movie, and they have all those dramatic moments in between. Now, instead of putting the action back in, put fucking in.
Yep,
that's what
much.
The 50 Shades franchise is. Instead of fighting, it's fucking.
It's like softcore porn.
It's softcore porn with really good acting in between.
Yeah.
mostly good acting. It's not really
no,
good.
No, it's good
decent.
Acting. It's bad writing.
Better than most acting. And the direction is, it looks good. They're beautiful movies.
They are beautiful movies.
They're just, you know, the plot might suck a little, but just take out the sex and put it, well, not sex, but take the action out, put the sex in. That's what 50 Shades is. It's like any other franchise, except doing it.
And there's more action in the second two movies, so.
To be honest, I haven't seen the other two yet, but.
You haven't even seen the first one.
Well, I didn't even watch it all the way through, but I got it as soon as I watched it. I'm like, this is like a big blockbuster movie for ladies. Like,
yep.
Instead of the fighting, it's fucking.
Yep.
It's like that. I'm like, I totally get it now. So I'm kind of into it, but I'm hoping the next two get better. The first one was okay. It's like an origin
movie.
Well,
you're going to need to finish the first one
before
you watch the other two.
The first movie for any franchise is always the boring origin story. Even if it's a fucking movie with straight up fucking. It's still just like, how did they meet to fuck? How did where did they come from? She's from Portland.
We did talk about
like,
this.
Oh, okay.
The first sex scene in 50 Shades of Grey isn't until 45 minutes into the movie.
And even I'm like, what the fuck? Like, you're telling me this movie's about doing it and they don't do it for 45? That's worse than any softcore porn. Softcore porn gets to it within the first 5 seconds. And then they take a break for like 5 minutes and then back to it. And you never see anything except boobies and humping. And it's you know, but at least they get to it. And this, it's just like, it's the same concept. It's just more, it's just better produced softcore porn. There you go. That's why. And also, I understand it's not my cup of tea either, but I'm slowly getting into it. New subscriber, Ashley Sims. Thank you, Ashley Sims. New subscriber, Compaq. Thank you, Compaq, for subscribing. On our Slenderman trailer reaction, Malevin commented, said, first.
Woohoo!
As in, they got their first for the comment. You win.
Good for you.
You win. Totally. Whoever says first from now on wins. It doesn't mean like, what do I win?
No.
You win.
You just win.
Do you understand? You've won.
You
That's
just
all you
win.
Need to know. You said first and you were first. You've won. Like, what do you mean? Think about it, man. Think about it. We got a new subscriber, Crook Z. Thank you, Crook Z. And then finally, that's right. That's right, Harley Cat. Harley Cat's right. We got to hurry this shout out stuff up. We got to get to the news. Thank you, Harley Cat. That's Isaiah Rays. Thank you, Isaiah Rabes. Another new subscriber. Thanks for the comments. Thanks for the subscriptions, the subscriptions. What was your favorite comment so far?
The snowflake bump firing one.
Snowflakes bump firing. Yep. We gotta go back to the shooting range. Oh, we're going to the news, Harley Cat. Hold on.
He's yelling at us.
He's upset. He's
I
in
don't
another
know if
room.
You guys.
All right, let's get to the news. Boop bop boop a doop. News. There it is. Easy little segue. Fuck it, guys. Okay. Vanessa does Star Wars. She does Star Wars.
I do Star Wars.
But she is new to Star Wars, so she's not familiar with the Obi-Wan Kenobi storyline of Star Wars, where it's like it started off with.
I just know that the actor made a kid cry.
Right. It was so you know Luke from the new new trilogy. Okay, so Luke had an instructor before Yoda, and it was Obi-Wan Kenobi, played by Sir Alec Guinness.
Mm-hmm.
In the prequels, you know this. Ewan McGregor played Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yes.
And recently, Star Wars, Kathleen Kennedy announced that they were going to do an Obi-Wan Kenobi movie, spinoff movie.
Mm-hmm.
But we got some interesting news. Well, Ewan McGregor took home his first Golden Globe the other night for his work on the series Fargo. I haven't seen it, but I
Me
want
either.
To now because I didn't know he was even in it, which is cool. Having received nominations for movies like Moulin Rouge and Salmon Fishing in Yemen, we bestow all of our congratulations upon McGregor, and no one deserved it more than him. But seriously, what's going on with the Obi-Wan Kenobi movie? Well, it didn't take long for that question to come up, because McGregor had to address that topic shortly after winning the Golden Globe. It's
oh
like,
boy.
Fuck all that shit. Star Wars. Star Wars. Star Wars. Star Wars.
Star Wars.
What the
we
fuck are you doing
know.
With Star Wars? Where's Obi-Wan Kenobi, man? It's like, so he's finally said, apparently he doesn't know anything more than we do.
Oh, no.
Yeah, get this shit. They're like, so what do you know about the Obi-Wan? Come on. Dish, McGregor. And he was just like, there's a lot of talk, and I'd be happy to play him again, but I don't know anything more than you do. I saw the new one over Christmas, and I thought it was really, really beautiful. They haven't
that
even fucking reached out
to
him. Or they have, and he's being a cheeky bitch.
Ah, yeah. Because
he is,
true.
He's a, Ewan McGregor is a cheeky bitch.
He is a cheeky bitch.
And I'm not saying that out of disrespect. I mean that with the fullest amount of disrespect. He is, first of all, he's one of the sexiest men ever. Let's just agree. It's Ewan McGregor.
Yeah.
Second
Moulin
of
Rouge,
all,
man.
Moulin Rouge. Well, not only that, but anything he's ever been in. I mean, he's Ewan McGregor. He's amazing. So he's dope on top of that. But I think he's the kind of guy who they announced that we talked about this on the show. We said that they've already announced they're going to start pre-production on Obi-Wan in January.
Mm-hmm.
It's January.
Mm-hmm.
They're in pre-production, which means they haven't even started production. They're getting the concept art together. By the way, Han Solo, the young Han Solo movie that's coming out in a few months.
Still nothing?
We haven't gotten a trailer. We've only gotten like one image, and it looks like a young
and
Han
it's
Solo.
It's supposed to come out in 5 months.
And then, you know, young Lando is there, and they both look cool and, I don't know, like younger.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what else to think because I don't know. We haven't gotten any trailers. We haven't gotten any footage. I'm worried about it because they changed directors like midstream. To Ron Howard, from the Lego guys to the Ron Howard guy. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Why has that been happening so much?
Well, I don't know. It started with Rogue One.
There was a lot of
issues
happening.
With Rogue One initially, and people weren't sure what was going on with Rogue One. So then it turned out they were like, well, the director was having issues, so they got a new director. Well, they had Rian Johnson help or whatever they said with it. There was a whole thing about Rogue One, and it, I think it started there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went from Rogue One onto The Last Jedi, and then from Last Jedi onto Han Solo, and then from Han Solo we're going to go into the last Star Wars movie, episode...
Nine.
Yeah, sorry. I'm like, even I'm losing track of all this shit, and I love it. We're going to get a Boba Fett movie. They've already talked about that. We were supposed to get some sort of Yoda spinoff, but the big one has been the Obi-Wan Kenobi movie. People have been obsessed about it.
Yeah.
Now, there's either one or two things are going on. Either Ewan McGregor knows way more than he's letting on to, and we're like, we don't even know what the fuck is going on, and he's just saying he has no idea because he hasn't... There's a thing that happens in Hollywood where you can't say anything as talent or as a writer or a performer unless you've signed pen to paper. When you've inked a contract and your name is signed to something, you can legally discuss it. Until then... you can't say shit, really. So until you've actually signed something and after you've had the meetings, he can't really say anything.
Yeah.
Whether he's involved or not, because he's probably just having preliminary negotiations about what he's going to make on it, how many movies they're going to have, if it's just going to be one or two. So he either knows what's going on and he's just like making shit up and saying, oh, I don't know, but they're just having preliminary meetings and trying to figure out what the hell they're doing.
Yeah.
And they're like, look, don't tell anybody what the fuck we're doing, because Mark Hamill just went around and talked shit about The Last Jedi.
Oh, yeah.
Right? The cat's down with that, too. He's like, yeah, I know. It's like he really fucked up the marketing. He didn't really fuck up the marketing. I mean, you don't know anything about this character, really. You don't know anything. Like, I mean, you know something about it. You know people love the character. You know people want the movie, but you don't know how much of a battle it seems to be. It seems to be like they're having issues... at Lucasfilm? Does it seem like it? Because there's been backlash about Rogue One and backlash about The Force Awakens. Not Force Awakens. I mean, that one had good... you know, people loved it. People thought it was good. They're like, it's good. Star Wars is back. We're happy. Made a lot of money. Broke records.
Yeah.
Rogue One comes out, makes a lot of money, but it starts to drop quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Last Jedi comes out, makes a lot of money. Critically acclaimed. Bad score for the audience on Rotten Tomatoes. Good score on critics on Rotten Tomatoes, but for the audience, bad score, and it drops 68% second week. Makes its money back, and it helps Lucasfilm, it helps Disney recoup its loss of $4 billion to purchase Lucasfilm, because Disney spent $4 billion, billion with a B,
damn,
to buy it from George Lucas. They've since made it back after they released The Last Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
They've made over $4 billion back. So they've recouped their losses. When they bought Star Wars from George Lucas, they had over $4 billion to spend to get it.
Yep.
They've made that money back and then some. We will be owned by Disney soon, all of us.
Yep.
Not just our show, but everyone will have a Disney barcode on the back of their hand. Oh, God, end of days. It's end of days.
Or Dark Angel.
Remember
that show?
Yeah, you're right. Dark Angel was pretty dope. Remember Dark Angel, guys?
Jessica Alba.
Good stuff. But let's get back to at the end of the day, if he doesn't really know, and they might go a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
To fans, that's unthinkable. You do not recast a young Obi-Wan Kenobi. The whole point of making that movie is because Ewan McGregor is playing Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah.
That's why you do it. It's because of Ewan McGregor. You don't do it for any other reason other than you got Ewan McGregor to play Obi-Wan Kenobi, which is brilliant casting from George Lucas from the inception.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, oh, shit. Ewan McGregor is a young Obi-Wan. What a good idea. And everyone's like, that's dope. And then he was great. And he was the shining star of the prequels. It was like, fuck Anakin Skywalker. It was about Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah.
So, and his whole storyline, and I was like, damn, that's a better movie. Let's see that. Things have been slowed down. The Han Solo movie was slowed down.
Mm-hmm.
It's been delayed, new director and all that. The next Star Wars movie isn't going to come out until, like, I think the end of 2019, they said.
Okay.
They said the end of 20, like, no, it was going to be May of 2019. So it's going to be over a year until we get the next of the, they're called the saga movies.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to get young Han Solo within the next 5 months, I believe.
May, unless they did. Unless it's they. Set on the poster. Unless they delay it again.
Right. And they very well could. And guess what? If they have to, they should.
Yeah.
They should. They should delay it. I don't have a problem with them taking time on making a better movie.
I mean, that's what they should have done for Suicide Squad. Sorry to segue that, but
well, that
that's
wasn't
what they
anyone's
done.
Fault, but you know, that wasn't any of the well, that wasn't I hate saying that wasn't anyone's fault. That was it was the studio's fault, I think, but
yeah,
I don't
it
think
wasn't
it was
the talent or
I'm not sure if it was the talent per se, but I don't think I don't fucking know. We got to get out of that hole, okay?
Sorry, it was relevant to the conversation.
It is. It totally is relevant. I'm just saying, I'm trying to stay on the Star Wars bandwagon because I'm worried they're slipping. Rogue One and Last Jedi were their recent offerings, and those were hit or miss with audiences, but still yeah. made a lot. They still made a lot of money because it's the Star Wars brand. They dropped significantly because it wasn't the same. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the problem is. I don't know what happened or what went wrong, but I certainly hope that Ewan McGregor is just kind of being coy about stuff because he's waiting to sign contracts, mm-hmm. and I hope that's what's going on. Otherwise, if he doesn't really know, I hope they don't recast it because there's no point in doing it without Ewan McGregor. That's where I stand.
I agree with you, and I haven't even seen the prequels. Right? I just know enough about...
Ewan McGregor, you know...
I was
Ewan
around
McGregor,
when the prequels came out.
Ewan McGregor
like,
with
it.
A lightsaber.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know. Ewan McGregor with a beard and a lightsaber. Mm-hmm. That's it. Even if you don't know who Obi-Wan Kenobi is, it's like Ewan McGregor is a Jedi. Okay, cool. Sign me up twice.
That's it.
Done.
I'm in.
Come on. They're going to do it. I think it's just a matter of time. So don't worry, nerds. I'm fair. If we don't get a Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan Kenobi, and if it's somebody else, I'm sorry.
He also has to sing.
I'm sorry that happens if that happens. But if we do get Ewan McGregor and this was all just a front, I told you. But if I'm wrong, I'm sorry that we didn't get him because that would suck.
He also has to sing.
Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan?
That's just my two cents.
He should.
Ewan McGregor has to sing in every movie Ewan McGregor's in has to turn into a
did
musical.
Did you know? It's so funny you mentioned that because Hugh Jackman said that the only way he'd come back to Wolverine was as a musical.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay.
Okay.
You mean you want to do a Wolverine musical, Hugh Jackman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tony Award winner? You want to do a Wolverine
You mean
Wolverine
you
want to
sing and dance as Wolverine and Patrick Stewart's there maybe? Okay. Ian McKellen? Yeah.
Yeah.
X-Men's doing a horror movie now, so it seems like the New Mutants, they don't give a fuck anymore.
No.
And Fox sold all their shit to Disney, which means X-Men are now a part of... I mean, they're fine. They're going to be okay. All right, let's move along to the next story.
You want
to
do mine?
Yeah, this
mine?
Is important.
Talk
let's
about mine.
Let's switch over from Star Wars to DC. So we're going from sci-fi... fantasy to old school old gods comic books.
Warner Brothers taps Walter Hamada on to oversee DC Films production. As part of a shakeup on its DC film operations, Warner Bros is promoting Walter Hamada to oversee its comic book movies. He will serve as president of DC-based film production. In December, the studio decided to replace John Berg and Geoff Johns as the heads of the DC movies. Berg became a production partner with Roy Lee, the producer of The Lego Movie, and It, who has a deal on the lot. The move comes as DC is looking for more quality control of its big screen efforts. The studio captured acclaim and box office bonanza with last summer's Wonder Woman and was savaged by critics for Suicide Squad and Justice League.
Okay.
There's widespread frustration over DC's failure to match the popularity of the Marvel movies. Hamada previously served for a decade as a production executive at New Line, a division of Warner Brothers. There he helped shepherd such horror hits as It, The Gallows, and The Conjuring to cinemas. The executive enjoys a close relationship with director James Wan, who is directing Aquaman for DC and is credited with helping expand the Conjuring universe.
Interesting. You love James Wan.
I do love
James
Wan.
This is why
Wan.
You want to talk about it, because you have an affinity for James Wan and the Conjuring series. The Conjuring series is sort of becoming this anthology series of horror movies now that has the same sort of characters in it.
Kind of, yeah.
Well, we talked about this in our horror movie thing.
Yeah.
Legitimately today.
Today.
We were discussing about how horror movies are going down this sort of episodic anthology series thing. And we're kind of doing that right now with The Conjuring. And we were discussing that earlier. And I'm like, well, we live in a world now of comic book movies and anthology series. So it makes sense for a horror movie to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what we're getting right now with The Conjuring. But now the guy who's doing that anthology series... is now doing it for DC. So he's taking over the film division.
He's taking over the film division. James Wan is? No. Hamada is. Walter Hamada is taking it over.
Okay.
Who had a close relationship with James Wan because he was an executive at New Line.
So I thought James Wan was taking it on. I didn't know Hamada was taking it on. Sorry. It's Hamada's taking it over.
He worked with James Wan on the New Line side of Warner Brothers.
Do you think it's a good choice? I mean, what do you think? I mean, I'm sort of on the fence about everything DC's been doing because Wonder Woman was great.
Yeah.
But Justice League was weird. It was bad. It wasn't good, but it wasn't terrible. It was just weird. I didn't like it. I'm not saying it was bad. I'm just going to have to watch it one more time and figure it out.
I think that Warner Brothers needs a change.
Do you think this is the change they need?
I have no idea. This change is either going to work or it's going to bomb. I'm very, very confused.
Well, me too.
About the fact that he's directing
Because
Aquaman.
I'm looking at that and I'm going, this is a horror movie guy that's going doing a superhero thing. Mm-hmm. And then he's talking about how creepy the underwater is. I'm like, yeah, underwater is creepy, but Aquaman wasn't creepy. Like, if you read the DC comic books, Aquaman was a badass
was kind
underwater.
Of a bitch. Oh.
No, what? Yeah, but you're thinking of the public image of Aquaman. The joke that he's turned into amongst people that don't know the comic book material, and they just go with what the Justice League, Super Friends. The Super Friends version of Aquaman, where all he did was swim good and talk to fish.
Even in the TV show, he wasn't that great.
Aquaman has really dense skin. He's from deep underneath the water. He has muscles, his bone structure, everything about him is designed to be fast underwater. Yes, it's underwater, but you put him on land, then he can breathe on land. And he's got dense skin. He's very strong.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense for him to be on land very effective. Now granted, he can't move as fast, but it doesn't matter. You put him underwater, you put him on land, he's going to be a very difficult thing to beat. He's very strong, and he can, and in the comics sometimes he can control the ocean's waters. Sometimes in the comics he can do that.
Mm-hmm.
He can control the tides or whatever. They mentioned that in Justice League at one point, but not really. He has a whole other persona where he's a badass. He was never a bitch. He was always the guy that whenever somebody like one of the land warriors couldn't take someone on,
mm-hmm.
they'd get Aquaman to do it because he had an advantage over people. He was water was the one thing that he could always control.
He
was in his element with that. And so you'd get someone from space who's not used to a planet that's 80% water. And then he controls eight. I mean, you think of this planet, 80% of its water.
Mm-hmm.
He controls 80% of the Earth. He is the superhero for most of the Earth. Superman only protects the land. Aquaman protects the rest of that shit.
Mm-hmm.
So I hate to defend him, but he isn't a bitch in the comics. But his public persona, he's a bitch.
Yeah.
And it sucks. You're like, well, he's got a blonde hair and he wears a Speedo.
I mean, his outfit didn't help.
You're wearing a green Speedo and you got blonde hair. What are you, gay Aquaman? And he's just like, well, what if I was? And be like, nothing, no problem.
Nothing.
We don't care. That's your prerogative, Aquaman. Well, I was born that way. Okay, we're sorry. I couldn't. Well, you want me to get my gills removed? Look, we're sorry, Aquaman. We didn't mean anything.
No, but you're right. We kind of veered off
I just think it's a strange mix. Not a strange mix. I don't know. I mean,
I'm confused. And I also...
What else has Hamada done? What else has he done? We don't know.
Hamada or Wan?
Well, not James Wan. He's not taking over DC's movie division. I'm talking about Hamada. You keep talking about James Wan doing Aquaman. That's the small fish right there. No pun intended, but he is a small fish in this regard. We're talking about Hamada being he's the guy who's going to be running everything. What the fuck else has he done? You keep going back to James Wan. I'm like, that's not the problem.
He just said he was an executive at New Line.
So he was an executive at New Line.
Which is part of Warner Brothers.
Yes. Why is he running the movies? Where's the pedigree? We talked about James Wan, but not this guy who's running the movies now.
We don't know
anything about him.
I mean, do we know anything about the two people he replaced?
Did they? No, but if they said that they ran the comic book division for a while, or they ran the animated division for a while, if they said anything like that, I'd be like, okay, fuck, if this Hamada guy even did the Lego Batman shit for a while, I'd be like, well, he's got some understanding of the, at least it's the Lego version. But this is like some random, like, oh yeah, this is some guy from another division.
Well, it
he's
said,
just literally some other guy from another division. That's all it seems. I don't see what the point is to bring him in if he's not passionate about the comics.
He had a connection.
You should get someone who gives a fuck. Put Kevin Smith in there, man. He's like, you know what? I'd say, fuck it. DC, Warner Brothers, fuck whoever you're putting in right now. Put Kevin Smith in. He doesn't like to direct movies anymore, but he likes to come up with ideas, and he likes to produce things, and he likes to... He's a good idea man, you know? Mm-hmm. You get Kevin Smith in there coming up with really good ideas, and then you have writers go and take those good ideas and expand upon them. I think you'd have a better franchise. And you got someone like Kevin Smith, who is ultimate DC fanboy. He does the podcast Fat Man on Batman. It's a great show. I highly recommend it if you like Batman. Every Thursday he does like a Batman thing, I think. I don't know if it's Thursday or not. And it's amazing and it's tremendous. The guy gets the comic books. He gets the source material. Mm-hmm. I'd say of all the people, fucking Kevin Smith, man. Why did you never let him do anything? You know, it's like, well, we let him direct Supergirl. It's TV. Mm-hmm. You get someone to direct TV, they just stand around and they're like the cheerleader for the episode they're directing. Mm-hmm. Everyone else knows what to do and how to run it. If you're there guest directing, it's just you're sitting down watching as everyone else works. Because it's a machine, those TV shows, especially Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
They're DC shows, Supergirl, Flash, Arrow. They're fucking well-oiled machines.
Yeah.
They don't even need a director
anymore.
They
know what they're doing.
Everyone knows
TV.
What they're doing. So... Kevin Smith's there and he's just like got really good ideas and he shares his ideas. I'd say put that guy in control of your movie division. He clearly knows how to story structure. He clearly has good ideas, but don't let him write the overall plot. Just let him come up with good ideas.
Yeah.
Let him structure the outline and then get people, let him George Lucas it and let everyone else come in and play with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think you might have a better go because he gets the source material and he knows how to appeal to a commercial market. Mostly.
He's been underground lately. Curious. I really do want to do some more research on this Hamada guy because really the only connections that they're talking about are two horror movies.
So he's just got horror movie connections.
Well, that's interesting. Those are the examples he's using.
Like that's they, just no. I find it. I'm curious. But I'm like, huh. I wonder why they're putting all their money on this guy.
Well, it makes sense because he was connected to It, which was huge, regardless of the fact that it was horror. It was a huge success at the
box
office.
Horror.
So
it's like people have a different perspective on that. It's like, why would you go after a horror movie guy when you're doing comic book movies? I'm like, I get it to a degree, but it's like, you know, Joss Whedon was, you know, in so many other things before, and they worked with Joss Whedon, but even Joss Whedon couldn't save Justice League from Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
Warner Brothers was like Steppenwolf in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Warner Brothers was like coming in and saying, this is mine, and I want to control it my way, and do it my way, and I'm in charge, and everyone's trying to fight him, and he doesn't get it. Why does everyone not want to do things my way?
Mm-hmm.
It's because they all have a different idea of how things should go. And if you hire someone to work with you in a creative capacity, but then you dictate everything they do along that project, then they just turn into your monkey. Then they just turn into they're just a puppet on strings.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times people will just stay being a puppet on strings to keep working, and they'll do bad work and they'll do bad shit and put out bad material just because they want to stay in good with the studio and they want to have a job. Even though they know they're going to make a bad movie, mm-hmm. they'll purposely make a bad movie to keep their job so that they don't piss off the studio. And they're like, they want to fight the studio and say, no, this is the idea I have. It would be better if we did it my way. And they go, no, we have a vision. We have an arc. And we've worked with test audiences. And we've calculated the statistics and loss variables. So shut the fuck up, person we hired to tell the story. Tell it our way. But put a spin on it. Put your spin on it. But we're going to tell you what spin to put on it. What? Let these people make their fucking movie.
That this is a good idea. And at this point, we're just going to have to wait and see.
DC is just, they're, you can tell they're just, they're like spinning plates right now. They're like, we got to keep this going.
I want to know if his job starts with projects that are already in the works or whether it's projects that are just starting, you know, like past the pre-production phase, or whether he's just You know what I'm trying to say.
We'll see as time goes by how it develops.
Mm-hmm. So this should be interesting. At the very least, any movies that come out next year,
DC
we
just
know he has a foot in that door.
DC
so.
Just bums me out, man, because like the next story is another DC story, and it's about a DC movie that everyone can agree on was amazing. It's about Wonder Woman.
Yes.
It's about the sequel. So here's some good news from DC. Okay. It's not all bad news from DC and not all confusion. I guess with the unfortunate reception that Justice League received, it seems that Wonder Woman is still standing as DC's most successful film. But we're still almost 2 years from the release of Wonder Woman 2. Yeah, we got to wait 2 years for the next mm-hmm. Wonder Woman movie. But Patty Jenkins and Gal Gadot seem pumped to get back on to work on the film. And they told ET Canada, that's right, ET Canada, that the sequel will be quite different from the first movie.
Okay.
We're actually making a totally different film with a lot of the same similar like things that we love, but it's its own movie completely, so it's not two to us. It's an entirely new adventure together that we couldn't be luckier to do.
Patty Jenkins is the director, correct?
Yes, they brought her back for the second one. Controversy
she did
there.
A great
funny
job
story
on
about
the first
that.
One.
Brett Ratner was supposed to come in and direct Wonder Woman 2, and then some story broke about him being rude. And Gal Gadot said, I'm not making it if he's doing it. And DC was like, okay.
Bye.
Bye. That Wonder Woman is our cash cow right now. She's saving our asses. Later, dude. Sorry. Other than social justice for good people who deserve it, let's talk about Wonder Woman 2 and how dope this is going to be. We got Gal Gadot, Patty Jenkins coming back, and they're taking the what seems to me an appropriate amount of time between movies. 2 years. I'm fine with that. That's a decent amount of time. 2 years, that's enough time to write the story in an organic way.
Look
into developing the project more, looking into how you want the flow of it. I mean, Deadpool 2, they're taking 2 years, I think, to get the next one out, right? Like, it's been about 2 years since the first Deadpool. Mm-hmm. The second one is almost done filming.
Yeah.
No one knows really anything about it. Nothing's really leaked from it, which is great. And everyone wants it to be a surprise. We don't want to know anything about Deadpool 2. We want it to be fucking awesome.
And the marketing so far has been great.
We loved it. Check out our reaction to Deadpool 2 trailer 1, I think, where it's the Bob Ross.
Wet on wet.
Oh, my God. Shit was funny. And we saw the balls. They cut the balls off of it in the theater. Remember, it was before Star Wars?
They censored it in the theater.
They censored it before Last Jedi, and I was like, anyway, it's fine. It was good, but it was better. The online version was better, so check out our reaction to that. I'm looking forward to Deadpool 2, and I think 2 years is a good amount of time for a good superhero movie, or any good movie. Any good sequel, you need enough time to really... I mean, I used to remember it took longer. I remember it used to take, like, they'd make a movie... You wouldn't even know if there was going to be a sequel. Like, they would make the movie, you would love it, and then maybe a year down the road or 2 years down the road, you'd hear that they were thinking about doing a sequel to it, and you'd be like, oh my God, they're going to do a sequel to it? Oh, I hope they do. And then they say, yes, we're going to do a sequel to it, but it's not going to be released for another 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then it doesn't come out for another 4 years, so then it's been like 6 years. And then it finally comes out, and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe they finally did a sequel to it.
How long was it
between... And now it's like they announce a whole trilogy before they've even started the first one.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's okay, because now we're living in the world of franchises.
Mm-hmm.
We always lived in a franchise world. James Bond, Star Trek,
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter. Well, I'm talking about before Harry Potter.
Oh.
James Bond, Star Trek, Doctor Who.
I'm a little excited.
You're like Harry Potter, the only franchise that matters.
Yeah. Duh.
What about Lord of the Rings? That shit's been around for a long time.
Well, yes, but
Tolkien?
Harry Potter.
Yeah, good point. what about what is it? The new Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
New Lord of the Rings: The Next Generation.
That's a TV show. Does that count?
I think so. Well, it's a series of books like Lord of the Rings,
books, yeah.
And Lord of the Rings. They're doing a TV show as well. But Wonder Woman 2. See, DC is fucked with our brains so much that we can't stay on task with Wonder Woman 2.
We can't.
We loved the first one.
We did.
It was
amazing.
It was
so
good.
Twice.
It was like one of the best superhero movies ever. We watched it, and I just remember like, whoa, this is really good.
So good.
I'm like, finally, DC, you did it. And not finally. They did it with Batman for years. But this was the first time since Batman where I sat down and watched one of their movies, and I was like, fuck yes, this is awesome.
It was amazing.
And I was like watching, I felt like I was watching, you know, Superman or Batman for the first time. It was like, finally, Wonder Woman got the movie she deserved. And I'm like, mm-hmm. yes. And Gal Gadot, Patty Jenkins nailed it. I'm glad they're coming back to do it. We get some more stuff from it. Gal Gadot added that her six-year-old daughter loves the whole Wonder Woman phenomenon, despite not seeing the movie yet. And Gadot said that she's already asked me if she can take over when I'm older.
Oh,
yeah,
that's cute.
That she should. She should. How cool would that be? Patty Jenkins also noted that her nine-year-old son has also climbed aboard the Wonder Woman train, saying, "My son doesn't care about what I do that much," Jenkins said, "but he plays with superheroes and he cares about those things." And watching my own child's transformation of being like, "Oh, I need that Wonder Woman doll. Okay, cool." She became a serious character to him. He loves Wonder Woman, and it's been amazing to watch this character come back to that generation in such an authentic way, and everything she stands for right alongside all these other great characters. Well, Wonder Woman was always there.
Yeah.
She never left. She was always, oh, she's the girl. But
yeah,
boys never said, that's the girl. Boys always said, that's Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
Boys always had a respect for Wonder Woman. You know why? She was the first female superhero, and boys have a respect for that.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, like, they may talk shit, like, oh, Catwoman, whatever. She's a criminal. But Wonder Woman, that's Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
Lasso of Truth. She's got the wrist guards. Ping, ping. Wonder Woman. Like, we know.
Yeah.
We know who she is. You don't fuck with her. She will kick your ass in that skirt.
Yeah,
she will. She wears a skirt in the battle, but she's going to kick your ass and look sexy while she does it.
Yes,
and you're going to tell her everything, and you're going to cry like a bitch. And
yep.
You're going to say, thank you, Wonder Woman. And she's going to smack you on the ass and say, good job, bitch. Like, oh, God. That's what she does. She's Wonder Woman. Patty Jenkins gets that. Gal Gadot gets that. Gal Gadot was in the military. Perfect person to play. I mean, she's beautiful, and she was in the military. I mean, my God.
She's amazing.
Perfect for Wonder
Woman.
She's
just an amazing person in general.
Just come on. She's just an amazing human being. So I have nothing but excitement for Wonder Woman 2, and it's slated for a November 1st, 2019 release day. November 1st, 2019. I know. I want to see it now. Can we see it tomorrow? Tonight.
Right
tomorrow,
now.
Tomorrow tonight.
Right now.
Fuck. But, you know, I'm glad they didn't fuck up the first female superhero movie that we really needed. I mean, goddamn, we should have had a Black Widow movie. What the fuck? Where's that, Marvel? Marvel?
Well, we'll have to see how
I got a problem.
Infinity Wars goes before...
I have a name for my pain, and it is no longer DC. It's Marvel.
Marvel.
No, I love both. I really do. I just think DC can... Man, just do, you know what, if DC really wants to win people back, and they want to win, like, this is how DC wins everyone back. I got it. And this is going to save everyone's ass, DC, and you're welcome. This is how you're going to do it. Make Ben Affleck's solo Batman movie. But when you make it, include all of the mythology you have done thus far in your movies. But don't harp on it. Redesign everything. Let the new Batman movie with Ben Affleck or whoever you want, whether you want Nightwing, if you want to do a Nightwing movie, let that be the first chapter of your new saga of telling these movies with a new design. You can keep all of your same characters. You're doing a movie called Flashpoint DC. Flashpoint is about the Flash, and he goes into alternate DC worlds and realities.
Hmm.
What if he gets trapped in a reality where the characters and the designs and the visual aesthetics are more pleasing than the ones we've been dealing with currently? What if it's more what audiences want and more true to the stories? And what if that's your way of changing it? And you don't even have to say it's a new Earth or a different Earth or Earth 2 or alternate
mm-hmm.
Earth. You can just have everything change, and it wouldn't matter if it was one Earth or the other. Because it's all fictional anyway.
Yeah.
So,
and
audiences would be willing to suspend their disbelief to go into this other reality where things are more like we're used to, and not even like we're used to, but like a design element. And I know it's like, dude, that's shitty. It's like saying like everything we've done is bad. No, this is the best way to tweak it. It's alternate reality.
Mm-hmm.
It's different timelines. That's how you fuck with it. Look what Star Trek did. Star Trek went back and they fucked with the timeline. J.J. Abrams said, this is an alternate timeline for Star Trek. We're doing a different one. We're going back to Kirk and Spock, but we're changing things up. We're fucking with it. And we're going to bring Eric Bana's character is going to time travel. And when he time travels, he's going to fuck up the timeline and everything's going to get weird.
Mm-hmm.
And so things are going to be different. Things are going to look different. Everyone's going to act differently. That's how we're going to explain it's different. Alternate timeline, alternate reality. Flashpoint is going to happen. That's Ezra Miller's Flash movie.
Yes.
They're going to fuck with that, the time element and alternate realities element. That's how you save and rejigger your franchise and do it in a way where everyone will be on board. You can sort of restart everything, mm-hmm. reboot it.
Reset button.
But you're not really rebooting it. You're just reskinning everything.
Mm-hmm.
You're just reskinning everything and then kind of tweaking the plot. Movies do this all the time anyway. It's a part of production for franchises. They just do it a much more, like Marvel's done it slowly over every movie. They've sort of tweaked things slowly over every movie. For DC, they could do that in a 1-2 punch with the Flashpoint movie.
Mm-hmm.
Rejigger it, redo it, reskin everything, restart it, and then just go from there and explain it and restart from that point on.
I agree with that, yeah.
I think that would be quite possibly the easiest way they could do it. Without fucking with everything too much, and it would allow audiences to say, well, it's like Star Trek when they fucked up the plot, right? Like the timeline was all fucked up.
Yeah.
So it's like that. They just fucked up the timeline. Everything's different. Looks different. Acts different. Okay. Works for me. Then there you go. Then that's for free, DC. You can take that for free. You know, next one you got to pay for. First one's always free, DC. Normally I get paid to tweak things like that. No, but I mean, like, I'm just saying that's one of the ideas you can use. You don't have to necessarily utilize that. You can just keep going with what you have and tweak it along the way like mm-hmm. Marvel does. I'm just saying if you want to do it overnight, Flashpoint, best way to do it. That storyline, that refresh thing, and you can make it a 3-hour movie, and that's how you can get away with making it 3 hours. Or a 2-parter.
Mm-hmm.
That could be their 2-parter. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think they should reboot everything like that? I mean, you sound like you were down for that.
I agree.
I just
with
like
that.
Ezra Miller's Flash.
And I hope that Walter Hamada will do that.
I love it. We're both like, who is Walter Hamada? Who are you, Walter Hamada?
I don't know, but I hope you don't only have horror under your belt.
He sounds like the creator of Bitcoin.
To get this going,
because no one knows who he is, and I'm like, his name is Walter Hamada. He is the creator of Bitcoin. No one knows his true identity.
Yeah.
He's also working on DC's film division. No one knows what he looks like or if he's even real.
Yeah,
it's like Walter Hamada's like, yeah, I'm real. I'm Walter Hamada. I went to San Bernardino High School. Bill and Ted were my classmates. San Bernardino football rules. It was San Dimas? San Dimas football.
I don't remember.
I think that's what it was.
But
Bill
that
and Ted.
Great.
Check that.
Those movies
that's
are
Keanu
amazing.
Says he wants to do it. Alex Winters says he wants to do it. They both want to do it, but they can't find a studio that's willing to do it. Please, Hollywood, make Bill and Ted 3 happen.
Yes.
We need it. But speaking of a third movie, God, it's so funny I said that. You know how Ridley Scott's been in the news a lot lately?
Yes.
As like my favorite person ever now?
Because
he's just going around.
He's great.
Ridley Scott's going around saying everything he wants as a nerd and as a filmmaker. And he's a nerd filmmaker who... He made some of the best nerdy films ever.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, should we remind people of everything he's done? Gladiator, one of them, the Aliens franchise. He created that. He's a legend, and he created Legend. That's the movie we keep forgetting.
Yeah.
Legend. Ridley Scott did Legend. And, oh,
he
my
did
God,
Legend.
That's like, it's Legend is like darker than Labyrinth, if you can imagine. It's like the scary Labyrinth. I just lose my shit every time I figure out something about Ridley Scott. He also did Blade Runner, obviously.
Yeah.
He helped produce Blade Runner 2049, which we saw. He's been very vocal about how most of the ideas were his for that movie, along with Denis Villeneuve, who directed it.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also been vocal about how long it was. And
it's too fucking long.
Well, he's been vocal about a lot of things, especially the Alien franchise, and he's been saying how he wants to do another one, but Fox was bought by Disney, so he doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
He'd like it to keep happening. But here's something interesting.
What?
Apparently Ridley Scott is, he has an idea for a third Blade Runner movie.
Well,
And he wants to make it.
Sure as hell left it open for a third one.
Yeah, they did. It was very open-ended at the end of 2049. But
sorry.
Let me just get into the story. No, you're fine. Apparently, Ridley Scott has new ideas for Blade Runner. He was asked by Digital Spy if he thinks another Blade Runner movie is possible, and shared that he has an idea for the third movie that is ready to put in. He's ready to put it into motion. Ridley Scott says, "I hope so. I think there is another story. I've got another one ready to evolve and be developed. So there is certainly one to be done for sure."
Oh,
for sure.
Shit.
He says there's another one to be done.
For sure.
For sure. The man may not be giving up details, but based on this quote, he may be hinting that he's willing to jump behind the camera again to helm the third flick, taking over for Denis Villeneuve. Scott surely strutted his feathers like a proud exotic bird recently, talking about how much of the ideas for 2049 were his, and going as far as to say the final product was too long. Okay. I mean, well, he created Blade Runner, and if someone is directing, it's like George Lucas commenting on the Star Wars movies. It'd be like, well, yeah, he created Star Wars. He can talk about it. Ridley Scott created Blade Runner. He can talk about it. He can say whatever he wants. He could say it's bad.
Yeah.
Ridley Scott could say Blade Runner 2049, whatever it was fucking shit. I hated it.
Yeah.
He could say that, and we'd all be like, whoa, we respect you because you're being honest.
Yep.
Like, we'd be like, yeah, we got it. So all he said was it was too long. It's like, yeah, it was too fucking long. It's like, it was good, but too fucking long. It's like, okay, you know what? Mm-hmm. You can say that. You created Blade Runner. This guy, you gave him the keys to the car. And I think he was trying to impress everyone, and he was trying to put as much as he could into it. He's like, look, I'll just do everything I can, put everything into this that I can, and then I'll just edit the fuck out of it later.
He went on a three-hour-long road trip.
But he realized how much he put into it and how much he loved everything he put into it, mm-hmm. and how much, and then he did that thing that creative types and directors do, which is, I don't want to cut that.
Yep.
I don't want to edit that. That's going to fuck up my story.
Yep.
It's like, dude, we don't need a wooden horse scene for 20 minutes. We don't need a 20-minute wooden horse scene.
Fucking wooden horse scene.
Fucking wooden horse
the
scene.
The Trojan horse scene.
Is that a wooden horse? Oh, shit. Gosling doesn't know what it is. What is it? And he's staring at it. Is that a wooden horse? 20 minutes later, what is it? Just fucking come on, move on with the plot. We got it. It's a wooden horse. It's from his childhood. Which
so
it turns out to be a wooden unicorn,
about
maybe.
About the wooden horse.
It might have been a wooden unicorn the whole time.
Yes.
Because it may have had a horn. I read that online. I was, fuck. So now I got to be like, well, Ridley Scott, is he a replicant, Harrison Ford? And was it a wooden horse or wooden unicorn, old man? Tell me. I'd corner him.
Tell me now.
He'd be like, was it ever really there? I'm like, fuck you. Oh, no. And it'd melt my brain. He'd give me the slip. He'd be like, he'd get in his Ridley Scott mobile, hover away. You know he's got a Ridley Scott mobile.
Amazing human
he does. You know he's got like a fucking Elon Musk Tesla thing
probably.
Going on that he's like going to hover away in, like from Blade Runner. Because come on, it's Ridley Scott. RS, yo. It's RS. Hashtag RS. RSAF.
Oh, Jesus.
Ridley Scott as fuck. That's going to be a new thing from now on.
Is that
going to
be a new descriptive
That's
term
Ridley
for
Scott
now?
As fuck.
Ridley
it's like
Scott
anytime
fuck.
Things look futuristic or cool, it's Ridley Scott as fuck. RSAF. I've decided it is new decree on this day for the Nerd Update. But speaking of the Nerd Update, let's round out our thoughts on Blade Runner, and then we'll discuss what we're most curious about from this Nerd Update. I think it's great. I love the idea of him directing another Blade Runner movie.
Yeah.
I think it's really cool. What I missed about the second Blade Runner was I knew that he came up with a lot of those ideas, but I knew he wasn't directing it.
Mm-hmm.
I loved the first one. I loved that he directed it. I was kind of sad when he wasn't directing the second one.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only thing that I was bummed about with. I mean, obviously, yeah, it was long. Sure, we'll say Blade Runner 2049 was long. We'll say that. Was it too long? No. It wasn't too long. But it was long.
Yeah.
If I was watching it at home, I'd take a break. I might fast forward through some shit if I was watching it at home, which I might do when I finally watch it at home.
Mm-hmm.
We'll definitely be skipping through some establishing shots.
Yep.
A lot of 5-minute long establishing shots, but they were beautiful.
They were beautiful.
It was a beautiful fucking movie.
It was a beautiful movie. And
it was a well-done story too. I think if Ridley Scott does do a sequel, he should touch upon the Robo Jesus Jared Leto storyline.
Yes.
That should be the idea he has, because we talked about how they dropped that plot in 2049. They had that whole thing where Robo Jesus was going to start a robo revolution. Mm-hmm. He was going to go off planet with Harrison Ford, but he couldn't because he got rescued. Spoilers, blah, blah, blah. But did he get rescued? Is he free? Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe RSAF, Ridley Scott as fuck, is going to pick this shit up and say, okay, he's back with his daughter.
Yeah, maybe.
And now Jared Leto's Robo Jesus is still after them.
Mm-hmm.
And so now Ford and daughter have to run off from Robo Jesus and society.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm like, that's cool. That would be cool. I would love to see that movie.
Yeah.
Why not? You know, Gosling could be there. Maybe he comes back. That'd be cool. Why? I wouldn't be opposed to Gosling coming back. He was great.
His AI girlfriend to come back. Joy. She was great.
Well, he could probably get a new one and then try and like work with her on shit or whatever, right?
I don't like that. That sounds wrong.
Well, I don't know.
I'm just as new to being a Blade Runner fan as I am to being a Star Wars fan.
And yeah.
I want Ridley Scott right now to focus on Alien.
He's gonna try.
I want a new fucking Alien movie.
I was reading online, and it's funny you bring that up, and we'll move on to our other stories and wrap it up. But I was reading online that he really wanted to do another Alien movie, but he doesn't know if Disney
mm-hmm.
is going to be down to do an R-rated movie. And he says they want to do PG-13 movies. And he might be. I'm not speaking for him, but I think if I was him and I was trying to be smart about it, I would consider doing a PG-13 Alien movie. I would consider it. I wouldn't do it, though, because I'd be like, I'm Ridley Scott as fuck. So, I mean, why would I do that then? I mean, like I'm not going to make a less than Alien movie. Like, when he made the first one, he didn't have to worry about ratings. There weren't ratings yet. There mm-hmm. was no rating system when the first Alien came out. You just made movies, and if people didn't, if they were too, you word of mouth would be like, it's a bit rough. Don't take the kids to this one. It's mm-hmm. not like Star Wars. It's different now. It's like the rating system, it fucks you as a filmmaker, because then you're like, well, should I, how much money do I want to make on my film? You make more money doing a PG-13 friendly film than you do making an R-rated thing.
Yeah.
Even though an R-rated movie would be better, it makes less money because you get money from the kids coming in because the parents pay for that ticket too. It's fucked up. You got to think about all of those little factors when you're trying to make a hit movie.
Mm-hmm. But Disney has been behind R-rated movies before.
Yeah, they have been, but I mean, I don't know.
They just don't slap the Disney castle on it.
No, they won't, but it's a franchise that they now own, and they may want to maximize their money-making efforts and try and make it more PG-13. I hope they don't, because to me, Alien is that gray area between sci-fi and horror.
Mm-hmm.
As in, it's more of a horror movie than it is sci-fi, but it's still more sci-fi than horror. Mm-hmm. It's in that gray area where it's halfway between horror and science fiction.
Yeah.
Star Wars is halfway between sci-fi and fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the line of distinction right there. That's how you argue for an R-rated Alien movie. It's not designed to be family-friendly. It's designed to be a horror movie.
Yeah.
These are horror characters, not fantasy. I mean, they're science fiction, but mm-hmm. it's horror. It's scary. People are dying.
Absolutely.
It's an alien. It's a machine that you don't know about in the vacuum of space. Mm-hmm. You go outside, you die. You stay inside, you die. Mm-hmm. You got to try and live. Mm-hmm. Good luck. You're in space. Fuck you. Ridley Scott. That's how he makes movies. I've done it again. another slick move from Ridley Scott, you clever English bastard. Sir Ridley Scott. I don't know if he's knighted, but we're going to keep saying Sir Ridley Scott from now on. S-R-S-A-F.
Stop.
Sir Ridley Scott as fuck. Want, want. That's going to end it. So favorite story before we hit the dusty trail yet again. What was your, out of the few we had? We have
Walter fucking Hamada.
Who is Walter Hamada?
I need to know.
We don't have anything against him. We just want to know who this guy is. Why is he running DC's films? Who are you?
DC needed a serious change.
Is this the change we needed?
I hope it is. I have to say.
Walter Hamada sounds like a car dealership. Come down to Walter Hamada's used cars. We've got Chrysler, Chevy, Lincoln Town Ford cars, you get all of them. Just come on down, Walter Hamada's.
So that I want to know more about that story.
We'll see how that goes. I'm curious about that too. I'm excited. And also, I'm hoping that Ewan McGregor will be Obi-Wan. I really hope it, because, like, man, I don't care. If he's not going to be Obi-Wan, I'll still see it, but I'll be like, this is bullshit. Ewan McGregor should be fucking Obi-Wan. This is dumb. And if I love it, I'll be like, it's good, but I still want Ewan McGregor. I'd still bitch about that fact, even if it, no matter how good it is. But that's the thing. When you're a nerd, you're never really happy, are you? When
you're
a nerd, when you're a true nerd, you're never really happy with what you get.
You're always gonna nitpick at
you're
something.
Always gonna nip. Nerds are just, we're always gonna nitpick, and we're always gonna find things. We're always gonna find that thread, and we're gonna try and pull it and unravel that shit because that's just what we do. We're such fans about it. We love it so much. We have such reverence that we want to pick it apart, and because it means everything to us. So we're not saying this to be dicks. We're saying this to be helpful.
Yeah.
But we're also being kind of
dicks.
Catty dicks about kinda. It. We're having fun, people. Get off our nuts, damn it. That's going to do it for this nerd update, and shout out to you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in again and joining us on this nerdy, nerdy adventure. I would like to see another Blade Runner, this time directed by the man himself, Ridley Scott. Mm-hmm. That's another thing I'd like to see.
Yeah.
So follow our tweets at Team Awesome Inc. Follow Vanessa's tweets at Creepy Sexy Nerdy. Like the Facebook page, Team Awesome Shows on Facebook. Of course, hit us up. Stitcher Podcast Radio. You can find us there. Download, subscribe there for free. iTunes, download, subscribe there for free as well. Anywhere where you can find podcasts, we're there.
Yep.
Check it out. And, of course, Instagram.
At @team_awesome_inc.
Thank you. I always forget. We got to do more stuff for that. We're doing more live streams. Check out Simmer Mike YouTube channel. Again, Simmer Mike for all of your YouTube needs. We do trailer reactions. Movie reviews, live streams. We got some cool stuff coming up for that.
We do.
And we've got, not movies, but movie reviews, but we've also got music videos as well that we do reviews on.
Yes.
If they allow us to.
If they let us.
Yeah, it depends on the people. But so far, it's been going good.
Yes,
check
it has.
Our Taiga video.
check that out. Yep.
Boss up. Boss up. All right, that's going to do it. Peace and.
Bye.
Is it Keep It Nerdy?
Stay nerdy. Stay nerdy.
Stay nerdy?
It was stay nerdy.
Stay nerdy or keep it nerdy. Either one. What the fuck ever, man.
Stay
Live
nerdy.
Life.
This has been Team Awesome. Team Awesome. Awesome experience. Awesome. Well, you know we do it too. Awesome. So right.
Awesome.
We.
Here at Team Awesome, man.
Wink, wink.
Shut up.
Yeah.